Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It is good to be with you tonight. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and this is a very interesting position to be in tonight. I'm extremely excited about the things that God is doing. And tonight, just want to continue to share those things with you. And I want to give you a different light as I posted a fresh start. So before we get into tonight's fireside chat, I want to go into a word of prayer, a specific prayer for those that are dealing with lost loved ones. And many of us have went through that, as well as those that are recovering from life's events. And so if you would pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Father, we appreciate you. There is no other God like thee. Father, we pray, God, for the listeners, the ears of the listeners. Father, that you would open their ears, that it would lead to their spirit, and that you can speak into their hearts, Father, and their hearts will obey you. Lord, I thank you, O God, because you are God. And Father, there is no way that we are able to do any of the things that we desire to do without your assistance, without your hand, without your help. So, God, I thank you, Father. I appreciate you. And, Lord, be with us tonight, Father. You speak, O God. Just use this vessel, Father, and God, that it will be glorifying unto you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord again, dear hearts. Interesting topic tonight that we have entered into for the last month. You know, I had stopped doing the Tuesday night Bible studies. I had come back from having surgery in September, and I was really trying to give my body opportunity to recover. And God has blessed me to do that. And so about a month ago, we started with going back over the introduction. And so when I say introduction, I'm really addressing how the presentation was with you first discovering who God is. And within that presentation, sometimes it leads us into a place of uncertainty, and I want to say that it leads us into a place of uncertainty. But God's initial introduction, as Moses is the writer of the book of Genesis, has been uniquely sound. And when I say uniquely sound, it is uniquely sound because it really does not reflect how a presentation is given of who God is, what God does, and how God operates. we have the proclivity to address the introduction or the presentation of God through a religious concept, and God is not religious. So That is something that, you know, I've addressed and we've looked at, because when we pick up what we call the Word of God, and I believe is not completely the Word of God, when we pick up what is called the Word of God, the first thing that God does is he speaks. And so I said that your introduction to who God is should reflect God talking to you. So don't get twisted or get it twisted that because your life may be screwed up, it may not have the thing that you need regarding it, that God won't speak to you. That's not true. The only way that we get to know who God is personally is that he talks to us. If God does not speak to you, how can you follow him? If we wrap who God is in a book, that means he's contained by words, and words that are written, not words that he speaks. So I want to really drive that point. And as you listen, you know, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 is all about God speaking and things are taking itself into existence. And if you remember a month ago, I discussed the fact that in chapter 1, we have to look deeply into it because there are things that we're missing. We miss the fact that this earth was chaotic, you know. And as God spoke, it became a chaotic earth because things that was not begin to appear. And so the earth had to take shape. It had to take form. And that made it chaotic until it was finished. So, you know, we understood that the earth wasn't needed by God. Man needed the earth. And it was the provision that God had created for his vision. And man being the vision of God. We spoke briefly about the spirit of creativity and how God would speak to you to do things in the earth that only he can put in your spirit. And I really want to push that point, is that the things that God places in your spirit, you know, he speaks them. And so it's not based upon what you read, but it's based upon what God says to you. And oftentimes we run to read something and we don't hear what God has to say. I want y'all to pay close attention to what I just said now. Oftentimes we run to read something and we don't hear. We're not listening for what God has to say, right? Now, some may say, you know, unless God says it in his word, then I'm not going to believe it. Well, everything that is in the Bible is not what God says. You know, and so we have to remember that this is a reflection of the things that other writers have put in here, you know, and we consider the theologians in historical situations believe that Paul's letters are scripture, and where some theologians believe that Paul's letters were just what they were letters. So I'm not here to debate those things. I just want you to see the introduction to God based upon how Moses saw it. How Moses saw him. And so Moses, being the writer of the book of Genesis, has been introduced to God based upon God speaking. And so Moses' writings deals with God either saying something or delivering a word. And so now we get off into, we understand that God, you know, made man in his image, and the image of God, he made he them, male and female. So the two spirits within themselves, the spirit of the male and the spirit of the female, you know, it was in God's hands. Now, I don't want to get into that right now because I think it's going to be a discussion I get into next week. But what I wanted to focus on today was that, you know, when we get through with chapter number 1 and that God is speaking, he's going to speak throughout from here to eternity, even in eternity, God is going to say something. And it's not based upon what we write that you read what God has done with me, but it's based upon when your ears are open, what God is speaking directly into your spirit, because he does not communicate with our flesh, our soul. He communicates with what he created in his image, and that is your spirit. And so realizing that now, it should shape and form how you travel or what you do regarding who God is. Because if you realize God speaks to you, then if you want to hear from him, you will make time for him to talk to you, for you to dwell with him, you know, because he created you for a reason. He created me for a reason. And so as we go into chapter 2, he indicates that what he had done, he was finished with it, And thus was the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in that he had rested from all of his work which God created and made. So God rested, right? He knew he had finished what he was doing, and there was nothing else that he needed to do, because he had created the provision for his vision, and he created this provision before he brought his vision into play. And so his vision, he did one unique thing. He created them in his image, and God being a spirit now, he created the spirit beings. And so those spirits were male and female. And so God created them both. And now we have to know now, he didn't create the body. He formed it from the dust. The body is a byproduct there, but I want to, you know, but before we get into it, I want to dive into, and I'm going to read verse number 4 on down, and these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils and he breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so in this now, we see that God formed man's body from the earth. He created his spirit in his image. And when the body now connected with the image, when the spirit connected with what God had formed from the dust, he became a living soul. So now the soul now was a byproduct of the spirit and the flesh. And notice this, I really want to get you to grab a hold of what I'm getting ready to say. It is highly important. So God formed your flesh. He created your spirit. And your soul is a byproduct of your fleshly body and your spirit coming together. Your spirit being created first, the flesh of your body being formed second, and the birth of your soul. I want you to grab a hold of this now because it's important. So if your spirit was created first, then and it was created in the image of God, then your spirit should be the thing, or your spirit should be communicating with God since it was made in the image of God. Your flesh cannot communicate with God, neither can your soul. The only thing that God will communicate with is what he created in his image. So he's only going to communicate with your spirit. He's not going to communicate with your flesh, because your flesh is lifeless without your spirit. And without your spirit, there is no soul. So the flesh and the soul needs the spirit. The flesh cannot move without the life of the spirit. And the soul cannot exist without your spirit. And so your soul should not be the influence over your flesh. I hope y'all grabbed that now. I paused for a minute, because I wanted you to really hear what was being said. Your soul should not lead your flesh, neither should it lead your spirit. As a matter of fact, it cannot lead your spirit, because your spirit is only going to obey God. However, your flesh can be led by your soul. because you from your soul, the things that you love to hear, love to taste, love to feel, you know, love to smell, can be an influence on what you have the tendencies to like. You like to touch it. You like to see it. You like to speak to it. You like to hear it, or you like to eat it. So your soul now, because it has these windows, can allow things in, and it can lead your flesh, but it cannot lead your spirit. And I don't want to camp out there, but I had to make that point because it's vitally important because of the next few scriptures I'm going to read. It's roughly 9-10 of them. It says, and the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Y'all hear that? And out of the ground may the Lord God grow every tree that is planted in the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good, and there is the bdellium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river was Gihon, and the same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So now I'm going to kill some myths, if that's okay, right? It's time to do some myth killing here. So the first myth is that the woman wasn't present. The physical woman wasn't present, but the spirit of the woman was, because that spirit was still present in the garden. So before I get into killing the other myth, I want to pay close attention to something. Now, see, God had created everything that man would need in order to survive. But God created man for purpose. He created him for a purpose, right? And so that purpose was for God himself. God created man for himself. So even though he created the earth and this was a provision for man, you know, because man is God's vision. And so before God brought the vision in, he provided for it. Let's read it. It's damn black and white. And so she needed someone to till the ground. So now, you know, the spirit of the man was there, but the body of the man wasn't. So God gives him a fleshly body and gives him a soul. But now God is not finished. This is where I'm getting to before I get to the other myth, is that God now creates a garden. And this garden represents the presence of the Lord. So even though he gave man everything he needed, but man needed a place where God had prepared that she could come and dwell with him. Are y'all with me? So tonight, the purpose of an introduction to God is that God prepares a place for you while you're on this earth that you can dwell with him. So not only is in this introduction does God speak to you, does he give you all that you need, spiritually gives you authority over all these things, but he gives you the responsibility now of entering to a place where you will only be there regarding him. I think at this point God shows you how jealous he really is. Because the Garden of Eden now doesn't just represent a garden, but this is the place where you will dwell with God. Now it's revealing that God now has a special place that she wants to dwell with you. This is kind of different now, because I'm not talking about going to a church. I'm not talking about walking into a building. I'm not talking about those things. I'm saying that the initial thing is God makes a place or creates a location or creates a place where you can dwell with him. Isn't that special? That in the presence of the Lord, think about it now, in God's presence, he has made a place that you can come and dwell with him. I think that's powerful. It is such a powerful thing, to the point in agreement that if regardless of where you are, who you are, it is not the building that he has created to dwell with you. But there is a place on this earth that he has put together that you can enter in, whether that is a physical location or a spiritual place, that you can come in and spend time with him. He didn't ask you for all day. He whatever that time is that God has dealt with you to be with him, he's not asking for all day. But God has an assignment for you. And that's the thing that we have to understand, that God has an assignment for you. Because if God creates a place where this is all your provision, and then after he creates that place, he develops another location that is just between you and him. So he really gets to the part here in Genesis chapter 2 where he's letting you know not that just it was a garden created, but there was a place that was created, that was only for Adam to dwell with him. And I don't want to drag that out. I really want to just make that point very, very clear, is that God has a place now that he wants to dwell with you. Now, moving on, because if you can hear that now, God is speaking now. God, the Lord God is speaking. And so, in the presence of the Lord, I want you to also grab a hold of the fact that there is a flow. Before I get to what's in there, there's a flow, a powerful flow spiritually coming out of God's presence. Woo! Man. Boy, I wish y'all could hear me. I wish you could hear me. There is a powerful flow coming out of the presence of the Lord. When it says there are four rivers that are running out of it, and these rivers are running to places where they're gold, where God created those things and he said it was good. These are the minerals, the elements of it. But there is a river running out of it, meaning that the flow and the strength and the power of this river is starting out in the garden. Now, which you know, in God, I feel the presence of the Lord. And so with that river flowing out, is not flowing through. It has to start somewhere. Do you all, oh my God. You know, and it was a river that went out of Eden to water the garden. So the now the extension of the garden is on the outside of Eden, but there is a powerful flow that is generating on the inside of the garden of Eden. And now see, in Eden itself, there's something coming out of it. And so if you're listening to me, dear heart, I'm saying something to you, that in the presence of the Lord, right, that he has something coming out that is so powerful that it has moving swiftly, did not indicate whether it was a slow-moving river, so I want to correct that. It did not indicate whether it was a wide river or a powerful river. All it says is that there was a river flowing out eastward to the garden. Now, when we think river, there it has to either come from water that is flowing from one spot into the other. The Mississippi River, you know, runs in a certain direction. You know, there are rivers around where I live or from in Rome, the Oostanala River, the Coosa River, and the Etowah River. And at some juncture, some of those rivers come together, you know, and it just has this powerful flow of it, and it just continues to run. So saying that now, the Coosa River runs, in a manner, that it runs through certain locations. But it also comes from waters that are in Alabama. So we can originate, what I'm trying to say is that we can originate where these rivers start. You cannot find the place in Eden that caused that powerful of a generation of water coming out of it. So not only did God has a presence, but his presence has a powerful flow, right? Are y'all listening to me? So look at what God does now. He creates an earth. He shapes, forms it, puts life on it, and then he makes this presentation of the earth to man by giving him dominion over it. Right, and that spirit is in the man, is that male and female spirit is in there with him. And so by saying that now, he gives them dominion over everything he created, and now he builds a garden. and as he builds this garden, as he constructs it, there are fruit there. There is provision, not only from what God has given you power over, but there's also provision that is in his presence. Y'all need to hear me now. There is a special provision that's in the presence of the Lord. There is something that God has when he brings you into his place, in his court, when he brings you closer into him, there's a special provision that is not found anyplace else. Because the tree in the midst of this, you know, he tells them that grow every tree that is planted to sight and good for food. The tree of life is in the midst of the garden. So there's a tree
in the presence of God, that is the tree of life. Notice what I just said. The tree of life is in the presence of the Lord. And so is the tree of knowledge in good and evil. Both of these trees are in the presence of the Lord. Both of these trees were created by God. I hope you all hear me because I'm dealing with the second myth I wanted to talk about. And so in the presence of the Lord, there is life, good and evil. Let me make a true presentation to you. In the presence of the Lord, there is life, good and evil. Two different trees sitting in the garden. One you can eat from, the other one you cannot. Did y'all hear what I just said? In the presence of the Lord, there are two trees that you could eat from. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, if you eat of the tree of life, surely you will live. But of knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God says the day that you eat of this, you shall surely die. Grab hold of this, dear hearts. I really want you to grab a hold of this because people are seeding you some falsehoods and they're not giving you truth. Moses, being the writer, sets this stage because it is God now that creates the garden. God made his own. He did all of this himself. He did it all himself. And the garden was the garden was his place that had a provision in it for man. The earth was for man. I want you to hear me now. So God has already provided everything that we need. It's in the earth. He teaches us how to draw from the earth. And in drawing from the earth, we now can exchange the provision that he has given us. Because we can take that raw material and turn it into something different. Which means we got work to do. And even doing that particular work, God has made it clear, real clear, that when he created the garden, you know, man was just there to keep it. But he was also there that he would go and talk to the Lord. So God had a special place for man. And y'all excuse me, you know, I have problems with my throat. God had a special place that he would dwell with man. And in dwelling with man, he would introduce him to the things that gives him life and the things that will destroy him. That was an introduction God made to both, not just to one. And because God made that introduction, the power in it is that we continue to feed ourselves lies, that the devil is not going to be in the presence of the Lord, but the devil has always been in the presence of the Lord. He's always been in the presence of the Lord. Is God is his father. Why would he not be able to get into the presence of his son? Let's kill the myths, ladies and gentlemen. Let's destroy these myths because they have us thinking certain things and believing certain things. This is in black and white. This is what many call the Bible, their word of God. Some classify themselves as Christians. I'm just a good old believer. You know, either way it go, we are being classified with a group. And so, you know, we're not being responsible as we're being classified. You should tell them, no, I'm a child of the King. You don't have to, you don't have to be in on this. It's not necessary. And see, because of all of this now, we make missteps. We make bad missteps. We find ourselves doing things that we should not do. And as we find ourselves doing those things, you know, we don't have a significant amount of commitment to really hear truth. We hear what we want to hear in the process. And then as we listen to it, then we have to discover whether or not if we're going to make changes, if God is telling us to make changes. But, you know, again, I say that if we read the first chapter of the book of Genesis, God is definitely speaking. So why won't he be speaking now? Especially when he knows you have the knowledge of the tree of life. And you also have the knowledge of what's good and evil. And some are trying to eat from both trees. What do I mean when the tree is actually not physically present to where you can touch it? Spiritually, listen to me, the tree of life is present. And spiritually, the tree that has the knowledge of good and evil is present as well. Very interesting, very interesting. And I think that it is worth us taking a deeper look into it as I read some of the comments. Is interesting enough because of the things we've been taught. So how do we unlearn the things that we believe that someone said or believe in what they were saying? And because they are expressing certain things, we have a tendency to follow. I beg to differ. I'm not interested in nobody following me. I want to point you to the tree of life. And in my introduction to who God is, before we get into the second half of chapter 2, my introduction of who God is to first hear him talk to you. That's my introduction. What has God said to you? No more elegant, completely simplistic. What is the vision God has given you? Because whatever vision God has, he's already provided for. Doesn't mean you have to go out here and beg people for money to do the thing that God has asked you to do. If he asked you to do it, it's his vision, so he has to provide for it. That is the thing that God has to do. So while you are reading chapter 2 and you see where God has created a garden for man to come in that garden, you must remember that there are four rivers flowing out of that garden. The Garden of Eden is symbolic for the presence of the Lord. So if God created a place, his presence, for you to come in, that he would dwell with you, he wants you to know that there's a powerful flow to water the work that you do outside of that garden. I mean, don't be churchy like people trying to, stay into the presence of the Lord. When you come into the presence of the Lord, you're coming in to receive something, because again, not only is there rivers flowing out of that, there's also two trees that are there, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in the garden. So God is aware of evil. He's aware of good and the knowledge thereof that it possesses. But if we trust him, we don't have to eat from that tree, and we don't have to die. Well, Adam had already made that mistake. But prior to that, if I'm introducing God to you, I have to tell you that God is going to talk to you. He's going to speak to you. He wants you to hear from him. You know, and he didn't create your flesh. He created your spirit. He formed your flesh. And your soul is a byproduct of flesh and your spirit coming together. But as you enter into the garden or his presence like Adam did, he has a provision that only you can receive in the presence of the Lord. You don't get it by going to church. Church is not a place where you have to be in order to be in God's presence. You can be sitting where you are right now and be in the presence of the Lord. You can be in your car and be in the presence of the Lord. You can be on vacation and be in the presence of the Lord. You can be doing something crazy and still be in God's presence. The thing is, though, as you are in God's presence, what tree are you going to eat from? Do you have to know everything, or would you just receive life and let God speak to you? Because those are the choices he gave Adam and Eve. Why won't he give us the same? And he does. It's just the presentation is different. Think about that. God's presentation to you is different. And going in his presence will identify his flow. There are four rivers flowing out of the garden. And again, you can trace back to find where rivers start from, because there's usually a huger body of water that is causing it to flow to or flow out of. But in the garden, there's nothing but these four rivers coming out of it. Nothing but these four rivers, which represents that the strength of who God is and how he, even though he created all this stuff we need, he still has the power to water it, to give it life. Think about this. This is no hocus pocus, scream, holler, jump around, none of this is practical. This is practical. I'm not introducing Christianity to you. I want you to be able, wherever you are, to hear from the Lord. Yes, I said it. For the brother that's listening to this show, or the man that's married and he's thinking about having another relationship with another woman, the thought has made him want to cheat. He started cheating when he thought of the other woman, or whatever that entity is, that thing, that person, that place, that whatever that is up his time that he should give to his wife. I'm making an introduction to this brother that wherever you are, God can speak to you. You know, and it's the same for my sister that's going to do the same thing. Or for anybody that is getting ready to do drugs, heroin, somebody may be crazy enough to where they have lost their wits end and they're ready to kill somebody. Wherever you are, God can speak to you right now, because that's been who he is from the beginning of time. He has been speaking. The power is that when he says something, it comes to pass. And just because you're praying for some, for God to do something or to make a way for something doesn't mean that that's going to be the issue all the time. Because God has three answers. Yes, no, wait. He has three answers. He can answer it yes, he can answer it no, or he can tell you to wait. We just want to hear God tell us yes, and he won't do that. He's not going to do that all the time. You know, so in listening to the Lord, wherever you are, you could be getting ready to take a drink, getting ready to get in the car, drive. You know, you could be ready to engage a whole bunch of people, and after God has told you not to, you do it anyway. And it can cause some issues. And if we obey the Lord, then we don't have to deal with all these things. But since we have a consistent behavior of disobeying God, we find ourselves in places where God don't speak to us anymore. You know, and then we can walk out of that place and then he's ready to talk to you, but you think you're too drunk. Think you're too high. God has never made that an issue. Religious folks make that an issue. Religious folks make that an issue. So, dear hearts, the strength of reading chapter 2 from verse 1 down to verse 18 is to really dig into how God has presented himself based upon what Moses said. Moses, the writer, again, And we now, Moses is recalling or recollecting these things, and he's giving you what he believed God had said, what God had done. Think about it. From chapter 1 to chapter 2. And we'll get into the other half until next week of chapter 2. But here in this particular portion, you read this scripture, and I want you to go back and read it, dear hearts. Genesis chapter number 2. The Garden of Eden represents the presence of the Lord. There's rivers flowing out of it. Out of his presence of flow, there's a flow. There's more than a stream. There's a river, and it has force to it. Has force to it. And he created this place that when man came there, he would just deal with God. All the other things that he was concerned about was left away from that particular area. But when he went into the garden, he was there to dwell with God. The whole purpose of God creating us is that we may dwell with him. So I know you all have a lot of different situations going on and a lot of questions, and I'm reading the comments, you know, and I'm going to address a few of them. One of the questions that has just come across, which I think is an interesting question, it's simple, but it's interesting, you know. If God gave us dominion, you know, why do we struggle with these things? And I'm assuming that this person is saying struggling with life itself. Why do we have homeless people and things of that nature? I'm gonna address it this way. He gave your spirit dominion over all of these things. And your spirit recognizes that. And these things recognizes one that spirit has dominion, you know. And so the reason why we don't see it, we really don't grasp it, is because how we've been indoctrinated to believe or to think. Nobody really wakes you up and tells you to hear from the Lord. We may tell you go read the Bible. You know, and out of you reading the Bible, we hope that you read something that will inspire you, or God, or or you may hear God's voice after reading it, but God don't need that book to talk to you. He can talk to you right now just where you are. And this is what I love about it. This is the thing that just excites me, that even if I was doing something wrong, he's present. Which makes it hard for me to do anything crazy like that. Because going into the presence of the Lord, I leave there with something to do. I leave there with an assignment. Whether it's to pray for the sick or to do something for those that cannot do for themselves. That is the strength of who we are, ladies and gentlemen. And we have to hear from the Lord. The next question, the writer indicates that they are, and I'm reading the question, how do we as, this is an interesting question, how do we as believers unlearn the things that we have? You know, I've had this conversation with many people, and it's really difficult to unlearn things that have been bedded into your spirit for a long period of time, bedded into your heart. And even if it's not true, it's difficult to get that out of your spirit, out of your memory, because you may continue to, you know, deal with it or struggle with it, things of that nature. So it's, I can't tell you what process God going to use to help you unlearn, but it cannot be no different from the other things that in your life that was done wrong until you discovered them and you started doing them right. Outside of, you know, the Lord speaking to you, I mean, I really, it's really difficult to say, you know. Another question, and this is going to be my final answer before I go into prayer. I only have a few minutes left. Actually, this is a statement. I think it's going to lead into a question, so I'm going to read it. You know, after hearing the last 3 weeks of God creating provision for us before he brought us here, and knowing that I was made in the image of God, you know, one would feel kind of cheated because of these things would probably have changed the trajectory of my life. Yeah, they probably would have. I cannot say that life would be different. You know, everything is in the hands of the Lord, and he'll give you information that you needed. And so, you know, it's kind of hard to say that your life would change. I would want to believe that it would be, you know, because some people grow up, and I've heard even people say this, I was born a Baptist, I'm going to die a Baptist, I want to be my funeral at Baptist church, and I want preached over by a Baptist preacher, it won't be buried in a Baptist cemetery. Now, that's just foolishness with me. When you die, you're not going to know the church you're in. You're definitely not going to know who's going to preach over. If the family honors your request, then you would never know they did honor that request. At least from where I stand, I don't think you would know. You know, so I would say that, you know, I can't say your life would change, but what I can say, I think, that how you deal with life would be significantly different, you know, and you wouldn't have to necessarily hear all of the religious things that are said or communicated that will make you want to think differently. And I said it was my last question. I'm going to go ahead and take this last one. You know, young brother stated that he was told that God didn't create evil. And as he read this, here is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and yet God created the garden, and so he had to put those things there. That's true. That's true. So why do pastors tell us that God doesn't do evil. God can get angry, and if God wipes out a city, some people today would probably say it was the devil. And the devil ain't got that kind of power. And it may seem like an evil thing to do, but, you know, God created that. It was no such thing as evil before God created any of these things. So what we've labeled it, people may have a problem with it by calling some things evil, but the truth of the matter is that evil was present in the garden. The knowledge of it, the knowledge of good and evil was present in the garden, but it wasn't necessary that we know that. What was necessary was that we eat from the tree of life. In the presence of the Lord, we should come ready for him to seed us life, not knowledge of good and evil, but that he was that we would receive the knowledge of or the tree of life, that fruit from the tree of life, if we would eat of that, it would handle all of our spiritual deficiencies because we went into the presence of the Lord to receive it. So that was my last question I was going to take. You know, I know the answers may seem somewhat long, but I'm just trying to read the questions, and they are good. I do appreciate them. I see a lot of your comments and stuff, and you know, I just want you to be able to communicate to you or be able to communicate to you a presentation different from Christianity. You know, I want you to know who God is, and for that reason, you would have to hear from the Lord. But before we go, let's pray. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Father. I appreciate you for this time that you've allotted for me to talk to your people. Lord, I just thank you, Father. You're great. You're good to me. And Lord, for the many blessings that you've stored upon me and you're pouring them out. God, I pray that the wounds that are connected to me, Father, will be as big a recipient as the flow that you give to me. And God, that they will receive it just as much as you give it to me. I bless you, oh God. We thank you for the listening to life, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear heart, I appreciate you again. I thank you for tuning in, all of you. It is truly a blessing. And I think that I'm appreciating the questions that are being asked. They are real, you know. This is real. And so I want you all to read. Continue to read chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2. You know, next week we want to get into a very familiar topic. And it may take me a couple of weeks to get out of it. But we're going to talk about the man and the woman, the husband, the wife. We're going to talk about marriage. But we're not going to do it from the Christian perspectives. I want to show you what God said. And there's a difference from what God said and what Paul said. All right? Well, God bless you all again. Until the next time, this is the Fireside Chat. This is Apostle Floyd, and I look forward to speaking to you next week. We're entering into a place to where you can hear from God. Blessings to you all.